Gather round and hark at it, the story of the podcast known as Community 101, created in the summer air of June and going strong until the decaying month of October. Our first 18 episodes were packed with foreshadowing and tenuosity. We decided to rewatch extra episodes with more focus and less tangential tendencies. Unfortunately, this did not happen. Our lives became steeped in work and geography trips, and a week off became an unexpected 3-week hiatus from our usual regular podcasting. But it was Sam, the editor, brother from another mother of Eddie, who regained our confidence and willingness to commit to the podcast once more in an effort to resume regular podcasting. However, Chris had handed in his Poundland recording equipment to Sam, saying that he would no longer need it. It was Harrison, the podcast introducer, himself a recovering procrastinator, who recognized the signs of podcast abandonment. A council was called. Eddie, the rarely heard, Sam, the wise, Harrison, the theatrical, and Chris, the eccentric. But, unsurprisingly, Eddie the player, also known as Mega Pimp, did not show up for the podcast, claiming that he had stuff to do. They would invite Chris that Friday night to record the next episode of the podcast. At the end of the podcast, they realized that Eddie had been in the Skype call the whole time, but it was too awkward for any of them to point it out. What they didn't know was that they'd scheduled the recording of the most important fan-made community podcast ever. An episode which may not only save a podcast, but would forever change the balance between fandom and family. Hello and welcome to Community 101. We're back after being away for a bit. Joining me today are the gang, just like normal, me, Sam and Chris.
Hello.
Nice.
And we're going to be tucking into some juicy community nuggets today.
Yes. So that was a little hiatus we had there, and Harrison's intro did address that. Pretty much summed it up nicely. Couldn't have done it better myself. There will be another hiatus over the Christmas period, but of course we will be back, like, as soon as season 5 starts to give you all the juicy details on that. We're looking forward to that. We're going to coincide the end of season 2 with a little Christmas break, and then we'll be back in the new year, 2014. But yes. Yeah, before that, we have some very exciting stuff planned. Stay tuned. And yeah, so now we have some news. Harrison, would you like to tell us about the pictures that have just gone up online?
Ah, yes. Some brilliant screen, what do you call them?
Promotional pictures.
Yeah, promotional pictures from the set and shots from the episodes 1 and 2 of season 5 have been released online. And as normal with American broadcasting, they do the first 2 episodes on the same night. So presumably they'll be like, it'll basically be like a 2-parter, I'm guessing. So when you look at the pictures, you can't really tell which ones are from which episode, like upon first glance. So looks like they're going to be pretty similar. And Sam, want to give us a rundown of
The first 2 episodes are titled Repilot and Introduction to Teaching. So I would presume that the Introduction to Teaching one is the one that features Jonathan Banks's character more. There are some very interesting ones in there. We have Chang looking suave with a glass of some alcoholic drink. The Dean's obviously back, looking quite...
hugging Jeff, I think, in one of the pictures.
Yeah, he seems very excitable, full of energy as always. Arbed is looking very disheveled in one of those pictures, wide-eyed, with a big scruffy book of something. Perhaps it's that menopausal tracker that he had from that bottle episode. Who knows? And yeah.
I think the one thing that I'm slightly scared of in the screen... The screenshot of Jeff and the Dean hugging each other is that Jeff is completely clean shaven.
True.
I find that slightly disconcerting, but only time will tell, I reckon.
Oh, I see. As in,
There's not a single piece of stubble on his face.
But there are in other photos. There's one, obviously we have Alan Connor coming back, played by Rob Corddry, or Corddry, however you're saying his name, Jeff's lawyer friend. And so there's some pictures of him with Jeff.
Yeah, I saw those.
And in those ones, Jeff does have a bit of a stubble.
Yeah.
They do seem to be in a sort of office environment. So who knows? Maybe there's a narrative gap. Maybe this has taken place over a longer gap. Maybe it's a few years later. Who knows?
I like. Whoa.
Repilot. That actually blew my mind.
I don't know. This is
Community's real time. Apart from,
I don't know, but they stopped it in the first few seasons. Yeah, true. I don't know.
It's not necessarily like spanning the whole term, because sometimes they do episodes like outside of the term. But usually, season one is the first year, and season four was their fourth year. So,
true.
I presume they'll stick to this.
I don't know.
He's wearing a watch. They're wearing suits. The dean looks really attached. He's clutching. Jeff's clutching this weird folder. He's wearing a swankier looking watch. Maybe there is something going on. They all definitely look like they've been made to look older as well.
Yeah.
Not even that they are older. Like
Annie looks really...
Wait, can you give me a link to these, please? I did look at them, but...
Shirley's got like three more lines on her face, and this is really like...
Wow.
Odd.
Hang on. Maybe they are actually, you know, just older, and we have been watching season two, which is about 3 years old.
Yeah.
More than that, it's about 4 years old.
Good point.
Hmm.
I don't know, Britta looks wiser.
It could be Darkest Timeline. I know, it's not.
I don't know, Britta's hair reminded me of Darkest Timeline, although it doesn't have the colour in it. I don't know, just
it could
the
be like another timeline.
Her.
Or something.
Oh,
like
that would be creepy. That'd be creepy.
Well, yeah,
that would explain it, but that'd be creepy.
See, they Arbid and Troy look the same.
Damn, you know we could do a whole podcast and just these images. They look so... You've got two completely different Jeffs.
The one with the streak of fire between them reminded me of Back to the Future.
Oh, wow. It reminded me of the... Funny you should mention the timelines. It reminded me of the... From that episode... Remedial Chaos Theory.
Yeah.
When the whole apartment's on fire and Troy is hanging on. I don't know. Another thing I like about these pictures, I'm not sure whether it's just because they're promotional stills, which always do look a bit sharper and a bit nicer than the final thing. But they do look more cinematic, which takes me back to the season two days, really. So I hope, because that was something on my wish list for season five. And if they have brought that style back, I'll be very happy. Yeah.
Oh my God, the picture of Shan in the dressing gown with a martini. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh my God, he looks crazy.
And the dean's in a dressing gown.
Yeah.
That one just looks scary.
Relationship.
I'm sure people watching on YouTube will be getting these images on the screen right now. Lucky people.
Such magic. Disgusting.
And they're in a different study room as well.
No.
Look.
What?
It's just filled with clutter.
I think it is just filled with clutter.
Oh, okay. Actually, yeah, because there's the picture of...
What's on that clutter, though?
Audrey holding the... Whoa, I just skipped
a box with Greendale Community College written on it. That is really weird.
Skipped forward, maybe. Like, and it's pictures of Britta and Annie as cheerleaders in the foamy bath thing.
That's from season one, isn't it?
I know.
Wow.
They've got a whole gallery of them.
Yeah. Don't get too lost in those ones. Okay, well, there's a few other pieces of news, but one of them, which only just occurred to me now, is that it was Joel McHale's birthday.
Oh yeah, it was, wasn't it?
A few days ago. I can tell you the exact date in just 1 second.
Happy birthday to Joel.
20th of November. And I tweeted him from my personal account. Happy birthday to Jeff Winger. Your speeches inspire me and your antics humor me. And hashtag and congrats on graduating. And then in brackets, happy B-Day, Joel.
Oh,
cheeky guy.
So what? How old are you now? 40 what?
Oh, that's a bit of a personal question, Chris.
Oh, never ask a man his age.
Okay, 4,080. Okay.
Yes, that's correct. 4,080.
Oh, so 42.
You wow, maybe he really will be the answer to season 5's universe. What?
Okay, and in addition to these stills, even more, I've lost track of which ones we'd mentioned so far, the guest stars of season 5, which just keep racking up. I'm just going to give you a quick breakdown of the ones that we know of so far. So we have David Cross as Hank Ooh. Hickey, Walter Goggins as Mr. Stone, Nathan Fillion as Bob Waite, Mitch Hurwitz as Preston Googler, Tim Ooh. And Eric as Roger and Billy, and then the rest, we don't know who they're playing yet, but we know they're in it. Robert Patrick, Paget Brewster, Whoa. Kumail Nanjiani, Katie Leclerc, Vince Gilligan, and Ben Folds.
Wow.
Look at that massive list of amazing talent.
Insane list of guest stars. And that's not going to get people to watch. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I can shed some light on the Vince Gilligan, actually. He's the creator of and writer for AMC's hit show Breaking Bad. And he's going to be guest starring in one episode of season 5. According to Entertainment Weekly, Gilligan will appear as a smooth-talking gold digger who ends up fueling a fight between Annie and Arbet.
Did you have a look up? Sorry, just a serious note. Did you touch on David Cross as a guest star?
Yeah.
And he's going to be the son of the guy. Huh?
Did the full list come out? Did you hear it all?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But he's apparently he's going to be the son of the Professor Hickey, who is Jonathan Banks' character.
I didn't know that. Cool.
So the professor's going to have a kid, and that's going to be Hanks joins the study group for a second riveting round of the nerdy board game of Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yeah! I forgot completely about Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes! I was thinking about it when we were watching Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
I completely forgot. That was one of the best news out of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of coincidence is that?
Yeah, even though I watched the entire Dungeons & Dragons episode thinking about how awesome it was, I completely forgot they were doing another one.
I spent the whole time thinking about, I can't wait for them to redo to do this again.
More epic. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just for those of you who don't actually know who the guy is, he was in Arrested Development, so there we go. That's just some backstory. Look it up.
I think we did mention him in an earlier episode, but yeah. So we have 4 juicy episodes to get our teeth into tonight. Some classics. We have Arbed's Uncontrollable for Christmas first, then some Asian population studies, then some celebrity pharmacology, followed by the legendary, mythical, and quite magical Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
And it was advanced.
It was. So it
was. Nice. And just in that small space of time, I reckon I might just have gotten kidnapped by that Draconis dragon. Oh dear.
Ah, no!
We're going to banish Chris from planet Arbed.
Yeah.
No! Save me, Harrison! Save me! And with that, Chris was, like, banished for a temporary amount of time.
So, Chris, we banish you temporarily from the podcast episode.
No!
Sad Chris had to go. Put in for all the show. Sad little Chrissy Wiss. He will surely be missed.
Oh.
Yes. Bye from Planet Podcast.
I'll be packing my bags and I'll be coming back in a little while. Bye.
Bye.
And now, so me and Harrison will be starting with Arbed's Uncontrollable Christmas, Season 2,
really
Episode 11.
Into the Christmas spirit, which isn't far away, actually. Now only a month.
A month. It's getting close. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Harrison. But that first therapy scene with Britta and Jeff, and Arbed, obviously, after Arbed leaves, isn't that scene revisited in Paradigm of Human Memory?
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, when Jeff says he's got a point, kidding, and then they say let's have sex or something.
Yes,
which is one of the reasons I love that. It's brilliant.
It's good when a show sort of connects itself back.
That's the thing I love about season two. It's so obviously written as one giant overhanging arc rather than just like individual episodes.
It's very nice.
And like even the fact that Pierce is in his wheelchair still.
Yeah, yeah, I love that
stop motion animated. So yeah. Many other sitcoms wouldn't have bothered.
Exactly.
Ah, oh, it's so amazing.
Also, for this episode, I got my Jeff in the Box out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to anyone who wasn't there in episode 4, I got it from the NBC store in New York City. And Eddie still has that Chang snowman that I gave him.
Oh, bless him. I still lol when it turns out that Chang is the snowman.
Yes.
And then when he says, hey, if you're going to spend all that time, at least work a little on the third button. And then it's only like on the second time I watched that did I get that.
Yes.
what he meant. And I was like, okay.
Mm.
I thought that Troy very much suited the Troy soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, and Annie is the ballerina as well.
I thought that was quite well thought out. Like Britta Bott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Teddy Pierce. And Jeff in the Box.
Mm.
Oh, that's brilliant. And it's like the first episode that just completely goes out of reality.
Yeah.
It is grounded in the sense that it's supposed to all be in Abed's head. But the fact that it's just so completely out there and bold and brave. And it's the first episode that just doesn't even feature any of them at any point.
Apart from the reflection in the TV.
Oh, I guess, yeah. But that's a still photo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it kind of played out for me. I don't know. I liked it, but it's definitely not one of my favourite episodes. It's just sort of another good episode.
Yeah.
It kind of played out like a radio play. Hearing the voices, but not seeing their real faces.
That's true, actually. I got that.
Yeah, it was a bit strange. Also, was that their real voices when they were singing? Because it sounded different.
I think it was. Maybe they had like bonus backup singers or something occasionally.
Maybe.
I think it was like the females, but I think because I don't think Joel McHale. I think he's fine, but he's not like that. I don't think he's a good enough singer to do like all the harmonies and stuff.
I think that it's definitely nothing compared to the season 3 singing.
Yeah.
Just saying. Sorry, guys, that had to be said. Abed has amazing world-building skills, as we also saw with Dungeons & Dragons episode.
Yes.
So there's that little link there. He had dreamed up all these names for the places on planet Abed.
And then this is almost foreshadowing as well, the Dreamatorium.
Yeah, yeah, I did get a Dreamatorium vibe from all this.
Yeah, got me all excited.
Yeah, I kind of want them to do more with the Dreamatorium. Like, one where they specifically go on an adventure like this, but as in, like, maybe not claymation, maybe, I don't know, some other format.
Well, they've said that there is going to be an animated episode in Season 5, remember?
True.
So this could be something tantamount to this, which would be awesome.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think what I love about this episode as well is the attention to detail. Like, there's things that you notice if you watch more carefully, like in the background. Like, the way, also, you don't appreciate it upon first watching, but the fact that they've built a miniature study room.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I like that.
Even Duncan's office as well is spot on. Mm. So well done that you don't even think that it's a set. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And then all the scenery and even the parking lot, it just looks like Greendale. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Although they were able to sort of jazz it up a little bit because obviously the claymation was cheaper to like augment it with, if that makes any sense.
And since it is a set anyway, I guess they already have all the dimensions and stuff so they can just scale it down. But it's still pretty awesome. And I thought that most of the characters actually were really well made.
Yeah.
Like them.
I thought the best one for the likeness is probably between Britta and Duncan, actually.
Yes, I agree. I think so. I think the one that looks the least is Troy.
Yeah, or maybe
he's got like a generic face.
Or maybe I don't know. Jeff, I felt Jeff's face wasn't.
Jeff,
quite
it looks like an older version of Jeff.
Yeah.
Pierce looks like a younger version of Pierce.
Yes. Oh, although we mentioned Britta a second ago, and I'll probably cut this out because it's not really relevant. But you know, Gillian Jacobs, she's in Fringe.
I know.
Did you know that the episode with the lights flashing? She's the woman who kidnaps that kid.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't know that at all. I never.
Yeah, because when I first started watching Community, I looked at all the actors on their like IMDb and stuff, and I saw Jacobs in Fringe. I think I might have mentioned it or something, but I didn't know what episode she was in for sure. So it would have been awkward if I was like, oh yeah, she's in Fringe. And you're like, oh yeah, what one? And I'd be like, the one with science-y stuff. Even, yeah, another detail of the Greendale campus is that even the Louis Guzman statue is there.
Yeah. I like that. It's That's brilliant. One good thing they've kept, like, they kept that continuity good as well. Like, that statue has been there through thick and thin.
Yeah, since season one.
Yeah.
And then they even get him on the show in season 3. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Good times.
I think we made a big thing when it was first introduced as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it opened with the dean talking over using a radio, which was reminiscent of season 1.
True. Yeah. That almost every episode in season 1 opened like that. Also, yeah. I thought this episode was good because it had sort of all the stuff. It had a danger of becoming gimmicky, but it wasn't because they had the emotional core down. They really linked it to the characters. And I think that's what stopped it from being, you know, just a mess. My quote of the episode has got to be, "Thanks, Lost." Because
yeah, that's exactly how we feel.
Yeah. It just sums up my entire life, basically. The Lost reference was much appreciated, even though it was
at
with
first
a
it was
cheeky,
an insult.
Cheeky little remark.
It's real to be. A good
yeah, one. It's a shame they didn't get on Blu-ray though. Just saying. Oh yeah. Also, this was a kind of really random comment, but I got kind of an AI vibe with the, you know, like Abed, the boy and his teddy at the end.
Oh yeah, this might have been a reference.
It might have been. It seemed, I don't know, like they were the last ones left coming to it. But I don't know. We've mentioned that film before on the podcast, and we've cried and stuff.
Oh my god, I still haven't watched it. I need to watch it.
Don't watch it. It's too.
Okay. And this is the first time Abed covers the Community theme song, which he does again in season 4.
Does he?
He sings a version of it. He doesn't do a cover, sorry. He sings a version of it.
I knew he did in this episode, but I didn't
remember. The first
episode
of season 4, he's like, "This is my show, something, something."
Oh, yeah, for the spoof sitcom thing. Yeah, I remember that now. Thank you for clearing that up.
No problem. All in a day's work for Harrison, the dramatic. I think it fantastically explored, like, the meaning of Christmas and like made me feel Christmassy while simultaneously tearing away the traditional expectations of Christmas and hopes and kind of introducing this idea of just loving one another and this kind of universal love that
yes
of spending time with friends and just doing whatever makes you feel good and not just doing whatever you're supposed to do to feel good, I think was the conclusion you can draw from this episode, which is very much, I think, a very Harmon way of looking at things.
Mm.
Which is a good thing.
Love.
And the end tag was Harvard and Troy in stop motion.
Yeah.
Troy and Harvard in stop motion.
They didn't cop out, that's the thing. They didn't do like, oh,
an end tag of just them back to
yeah, life. And they didn't start it off in a normal way. They just threw you straight in the deep end and they weren't afraid to do that. That was
cool. It's very brave and bold.
All the way through, nice and neat. Yeah.
So, it's just getting me hapsed, well, excited, I should say, sorry, for the next animated episode, even if it's not stop motion, which it probably isn't, but I'm excited for that. This episode had quite a lot of feels. like our bed. Had a lot of daddy and mummy issues got tossed around here.
Yeah, true.
Duncan and his daddy issues, Arbed and his mummy issues, Annie and his mummy and her mummy issues. Sorry. So you know, it's quite deep. Hashtag deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that was I definitely, although it wasn't one of my favorite episodes, I have to admit it's definitely one of the most iconic episodes, just through how
the most memorable
unique it is. Yeah.
It's like if you, as a, it's like there's so many, the community has so many selling points, and one of them is how like brave it is to do things like this. And like if I wanted to sell it on that point, this would be one of the episodes I'd show people. I'd like show people this and Journey to the Center of the Hawkthorn and episodes like that. It's just the ones that just completely tear apart the conventions of sitcom. And this one successfully does that while also providing a heartwarming and wonderful Christmas tale.
Lovely. And so, yeah, we'll move on to...
swiftly on. Does Chris want to join us now?
I don't know. I thought he was going to join us on the third one.
Oh, right. He's gone. I say, sorry. Yes, Asian population studies.
yeah. I thought that was quite interesting. Title.
A brilliant Chang episode here.
Yeah. I thought I noticed some stuff with Chang and Jeff. I felt that there was this rift between
compared them. Compared to how brotherly they were in season one.
Yeah, it's a shame. I love that bromance, so it's a shame they're pitted against each other.
But yeah, and the rivalry continues right up until season four.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because, I mean, Chang just wants in, but Jeff's quite exclusive. I think Jeff's kind of afraid of change, which is why he's afraid of Chang. Eh?
Ah.
That's too deep. But yeah. Too deep. So, I mean, and Chang's a pro at bluffing, right? Because he's like, oh, you have to do it, you have to decide immediately. But then
if it was immediately, it'd be a no.
Yeah, so Jeff, as a lawyer background, he's a pro at calling his bluff. So there's that little dynamic there, which kind of leaves them at an impasse, which kind of ramps up the conflict, I think.
This episode completely... Chang obviously always wants to be in the study group, but this is the first one that properly is him making an obvious attempt to get in there, and they seriously consider letting him in. But then they don't, in the end. Everything goes back to normal.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if this will happen in season five. He'll get introduced.
Well, I wouldn't...
like this.
I wouldn't say it was as if nothing happened, because it is important for his arc. It's more of his downfall.
Yeah.
I think season two is a good view of how villains are made, really. Because
with Chang and Pierce.
The gang are so sort of out of it, really.
Like elitist as well in this series.
Yeah, Arbed says we're going to have more self-contained escapades. He says that in the first episode of season two. And they live up to it. A lot of it is very centered on the group. They even have a bottle episode, right? So I think that sort of exclusivity, it gives them a great time at the time. They have loads of fun. But then when all's said and done, at the end of the day, it leaves them with a lot of enemies by the end of the season.
It's true, actually.
So...
that's a really good point.
I don't know. I missed this deep analysis. But yeah, I think that's why season two can be a bit of a cautionary tale. Don't let those individuals fade into the background, because you never know what they're going to come back with.
Whoa, deep.
Nice.
So yeah, Rich just comes back. You've got to love Rich.
I do like Rich, yeah.
And it makes you dislike Jeff for not liking him.
The first episode with Rich in, I don't know, I guess I didn't like it because at that point I thought Community was more conventional.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really thinking straight. I was thinking, oh, Jeff's a good guy, Rich is a bad guy, you know, boring, you know.
But now we know how flawed Jeff is.
By season two, it's like, oh, Rich is genuine. Okay, he did kind of troll them in the zombie episode, but we can look past that. He thought he was special, and let's be honest, who doesn't? So, you know, I'll forgive him. And yeah, I like him in this episode. He's a great guy, and let's be honest, as we often are on this podcast, who doesn't love kettle corn?
Yeah.
So called popcorn in the United Kingdom.
I'm pretty sure they still call it when it's like in a cinema popcorn.
And they do spell it with a Q-U, so... so
good. Corn.
Popcorn.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. But no, it's to do with Dungeons & Dragons. Don't worry, I'll say it when it comes to it.
Okay. Speaking of Dungeons & Dragons, though, this is a little link. Neil was in this episode.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, they've started already. I think before this episode even, they've started referencing Fat Neil.
Yeah.
I can't remember which episode it was in. But in one of them, they're in the corridor. I think it's in the conspiracy theory.
Yeah. And I remember why. It's because I said to you in that episode,
oh, yeah,
is this the one that they come back to?
And it wasn't the same clip, because he said someone was asking where the toilet was, and he said it's down there by Fat Neil.
But yeah, I thought that at the time was the one they linked back to, which would
have... It's very similar. It
would have been awesome, because I was just talking about how linked Season 2 was.
Yeah.
But alas, it wasn't meant to be, because...
Well, I think it still counts, because he did mention Neil in passing in the same way. So it's implied that he does that all the time, I think.
True. So if eagle-eyed viewers might see the twist coming then. Pierce is with him that other time.
The time
they're using the prologue of Dungeon Drake. But yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves, I guess. I really liked Duncan casually writing penis on the blackboard. That was quite humorous.
Yes.
And also Troy's casual, a lot of casual stuff in this episode, by the way. Casual dirtiness. Troy was saying, you know when kids remove their outfits? Because they already got all their candy. I was like, what? But yeah, Troy gets a lot of good quotes. I'm going to miss him.
And also the really clever twist when Jeff is running through the rain and we think
he's
running to Annie. And you fell for this again, didn't you?
Yeah, I can't remember whether I told you in person or whether I told you on the podcast. So this, I might be rehashing an old story here. Sorry.
No, because we wouldn't have been talking about this episode, would we?
I don't know. Tangents happen. But if I haven't relayed this before, I'll say it now. Basically... The scene fooled me twice, because the first time I watched it, like everyone else, oh, he's going to see Annie. Oh, cool. Okay. I ship it. So nice, you know, happy. And then it wasn't. And I was like, oh, but I don't know. I was quite happy with the twist. But the second time around, rewatching it, I got hyped again because it had been so long since I watched it. And so I thought, hang on, this is great, but I can't remember at all what happens when he gets to her. I couldn't remember how they resolve it. And then I realized again when they show Rich and I was like, ah. But at that time I actually loved the twist, because by then I knew nothing massive happened with Annie. So like I wasn't let down. I was more happy with how smart the narrative was there. Yeah, but also I would be remiss not to mention this, especially since it was his birthday recently. This was an impeccable acting job from Joel McHale in that scene when he's standing there drenched in the doorway, because that really made me feel. That was powerful and very true.
The speech as well. Oh my goodness.
Which speech?
Don't say anything until I've said what I've got to say. I've known you for almost 2 years now, and I've never taken you as seriously as I should have. You are the strangest, coolest, most genuine person I've ever met. And the thing that scares me about you is how good you make me wish I was. Help me, Rich. Help me become like you. I mean, I am so amazing, but I'm not perfect. You are. Give me that power so I can abuse it.
Yeah, and I mean, the writing there as well. Everything.
Perfect. And the twist.
Just everything. That was a great... I love the resolutions in this episode. Just, you know, all worked. And also, there was a little bit of foreshadowing. I mean, this is long-term foreshadowing. Very long-term, considering Pierce isn't even in the show anymore. But, for now. But he put his arm around Bria. And I think that's clear foreshadowing for the main relationship of the show. Which is, obviously, pitta. Like, as in pitta bread.
What's, is that your main ship now?
Yep.
But then he kind of awkwardly moves his hand arm away.
I don't know. We'll see. Only time will tell.
Is it this episode when Duncan says, you may have noticed I have stopped drinking, mainly due to the fact that I can no longer get an erection.
Yes, that's why he was writing penis on the board. So, 213, Celebrity Pharmacology 212.
Yes, I love this one. They put on a real good show here.
Although I think the order of the episodes must have changed, because this is episode 213.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I love you, drugs!
I love that, especially the first time I watched it. Just
the whole very drugs original analogy.
Yeah. And this was one of the few episodes, I don't know, actually, maybe not one of the few episodes, I'm sure a lot of episodes do this, but one of the few episodes where I picked up on it, I guess, is the whole thing about, like, an actual theme, like, in all the storylines that draws it all together.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess, quote of the episode as far as, like, on a serious note, rather than a comedic quote of the episode, would be, although, I don't know, it's kind of funny, but it's just ironic, and it's when Pierce says, Annie, we're independent, we need each other. Like, yeah, it's just like, that sort of hypocrisy, it just sort of shows, especially also, I think Dean mentions at the end that the message was dependence was the enemy. And he says that about the drug show, but Annie's thinking, that's why I shouldn't have, like, relied on Pierce. Because, yeah, it leads to the feeling of needing to... Oh, wait, Chris is meant to be back for this one. The feeling of needing to be... to pay someone back, which is always going to drag you down.
I think my favourite quote, though, has to be from Arbor, and he says, Any question, is Pierce marijuana, and does marijuana help people work faster? I thought it just made them custom paint their vans and solve mysteries. Very humorous reference to the likes of Scooby-Dee? Oh my god, I'm tired.
Pierce can actually be quite a witty guy at times. I think he should try his hand at being a comedian. Like, no seriousness.
Yeah, no, but... yeah, Pierce is actually quite funny and entertaining when he wants to be.
Yeah,
he's not trying to be a dick.
But even so, even when he is a dick, that kind of fits in with part of the comedian industry today. I mean, think about all that offensive shock humor that we get. Like, don't want to name any names. What's that ginger guy? Frankie Boyle.
Oh, right, yes.
Pierce's humor reminds me of his humor.
It's not as offensive.
As Frankie Boyle. Or are you saying that he's not as offensive as Pierce?
No, Pierce isn't as offensive.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Definitely not. But still, yeah, that just shows there'd be a place for him somewhere in the industry. good to see the Dean back after minimal appearance in the last two episodes.
Yes.
I did miss him.
The Dean, yeah, makes a brilliant appearance.
And he's like, oh, I already have plans. Can't you tell from the costume?
And Pierce's daddy issues, again, come to light.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That is the first time they come to light, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
The first time
he like openly says it's a problem.
And that's another part of his... Yeah, these four episodes are key, like, for the downfall of characters.
Yeah.
Pierce, yeah, especially...
They really set things up high so they can topple.
Yeah, yeah, building that Jenga pile.
I also quite like Shirley's line, I may be green, but I'm feeling blue.
Yes, the delivery was just lovely.
I also think, well, that answers my question. Jeff Winger is sexy even in a coffin. Now that was creepy. and the whole thing about he stole the picture of Jeff and was talking about bee costumes.
It's endearing. It's nice.
Oh, it's like they're over creep. It's like the Dean at his creepiest, I think, at this point in this episode. And also the creepy nephew thing as well.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's so creepy.
Okay,
Jeff kind of thinks it's a bit creepy at first, but then he just seems to let it slide so easily.
And like, he gives him her bra.
But then again, I think that your auntie doesn't necessarily have to be related to you, because it can be like your dad's sister's husband, and that can be your
example. All right, then. I ship it.
No, but it might not be.
I ship it, even though the age difference. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I did appreciate the community was brave enough to do such a perverse B-plot line. But yeah.
What was the end tag? Oh yeah, it's in her apartment. Yeah, I remember. This series also breaks away from just the Troy and Abed end tags and gives True. Other characters their own end tags, I've noticed as well.
Although I still think the majority go to Troy and Abed.
It's true. True this.
It is true. 2:14.
Advanced. Yes. Should we get Chris back in this hizzy?
Well, I already asked him ages ago, and he said he just blanked me, so clearly he doesn't think he's good enough. Well, we're on schedule. We got to keep on.
Yeah.
I'm going. Until he comes back online. Anyway. So, yeah, episode 14, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons,
Woo! Is
in my top 3 episodes of Community for all.
Wow. I'd say it's definitely in my top 5.
I'm a big fantasy fan, I guess. I don't know. It didn't really happen. I didn't say to myself one day, oh, I'm a fantasy fan. It happened gradually. Like, I became a fan of Lord of the Rings when I was a kid. But then recently I've been into, like, you know, Song of Ice and Fire, video games like Skyrim, you know, banging it out.
Fantasy.
Just the immersion that it brings. Oh, okay, Chris is online now. Oh, and he just popped back in.
You just got me at just the right time.
Have you got anything you want to say about the third one?
There was this irony of the kids being given free baseballs.
Yeah, that was like, it was like a recipe for disaster.
Really,
I
really
love that.
Funny.
It unshamably foreshadows exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Especially when they do that, and there are actually steroid scandals with baseball players at the time the episode was being made.
So whenever
it's like, you know, this
drugs,
tongue-in-cheek.
Think of baseball instead.
Yeah.
If you don't, if any time you think of drugs. Yeah.
Okay, anything else, Chris? I think we covered a lot.
I don't know, you probably covered all of it. One thing that I really thought was really weird is that the Dean always constantly gets more perverted per show.
Yeah.
And there were three bits.
I touched on that.
Well, you mean the way he's like, oh, Jeff looks sexy in that coffin.
Yeah.
what? Like, Community, come on. Damn it, they're almost going to be as popular as filmandflux.net.
Yeah, maybe.
Ollie reference.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I think we can move on then. Yes, Oof. Sam. So you into the fantasy genre, this must be your dream episode.
Yeah, really it was. I mean, from the very beginning, a direct reference to Fellowship of the Ring opening prologue there, which we ourselves spoofed in this episode.
Hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it was a good opportunity to put a lighter spin on what would otherwise be sort of an overly serious subject matter.
Yeah. Suicidal but, Neil.
Yeah. It gives a positive
message.
They
don't even mention suicide in the whole episode, so it kind of makes it seem like it's like disbelief almost.
They let you sort of read into it as much or as little as you want. And I appreciate that because
Maybe younger viewers just maybe think he's just upset, maybe.
Some of us do have we get a bit flustered when we think about things like that.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even notice that, to be quite honest.
So that shows it works. That shows it works. You can read into it as much as you want, and that's...
This episode, actually, I think it's the second bottle episode of Community, right?
Second bottle episode.
Oh, yeah, it's all in the study room.
Apart from the prologue,
Yeah, the montage.
I wouldn't say it's a complete bottle episode. They go out and study.
Yeah, they have the option to go out if they want, and then all the characters leave one by one as well. Well,
I guess
Chang
it depends.
Leaves.
It depends whether you think being a bottle episode is a matter of degree, really.
Bottle episode or bottle episode.
Sorry.
What?
I don't. Yeah, but sorry. Go on, Chris. Go on.
Well, bottle episode or not, it, you know, had all the characters there in one place, and if it was a bottle episode, I'm thinking this is how they should all be made, because when I first watched the last bottle episode, the one where they get naked, and they're, like, talking about the pens, and it's really outlandish, and for the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, it's cringy, I turned it off. If you want to know why, you can have a look at the last podcast episodes, where we actually go over that, but this one's more down to earth. It's something. It's actually what a bottle episode is. It's everyone in one place, staying together, doing something. It's low
for
budget.
For a cause as well. It's not.
It's for a cause. Yeah. It's not just, oh, look at my pen. It's let's look around, sit around a table, like crowding around a coffee table, enjoying a game of the 1979 board classic Mount Everest. It's a. it's more natural.
I'm still das. I missed out on that.
It was melt worthy. Don't worry.
The thing I love about this episode and many other Community episodes is that, well, the things that happen in the study room, you just completely forget that they're just in a study room. It's like you're with them in this fantasy world, and they don't even need to show you it. They're all such good actors.
They had such
a good dungeon master that you don't even need to see the world to believe it's there.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did have some sound effects which made it really atmospheric, but I really liked how they didn't go too over the top with that. They kept it simplistic, so the focus remained on the characters. I felt that was a very good decision. They didn't try and jazz out too much. I mean, you have other episodes where you can do that, like Arbed's Uncontrollable Christmas, where it gives you that visual experience. Mm. But with this one, it was all about the writing, really, and just the characters interacting with each other.
I've seen Gravity lately, and I was just thinking, whoa, this is masterful use of sound, just as they're doing Gravity, to add effects and add atmosphere to the episode. And I was like, wow, this is what really... wow, this is what really makes the episode for me. But back on the subject of Arbed, I thought this episode was the one that really showed his character shine, because he's so dynamic. Like, Danny Pudi is so dynamic, and he's so, like, varied. He manages to sit there and contort his face into all these really weird expressions.
Yeah, he's just the dream actor. Almost as good as Harrison Cole.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, shucks. No, Danny Pudi is amazing. I actually think he's probably the best actor in Community.
Mm.
Ooh, bold claim. I don't know.
The others are amazing.
I hate to
I think he's my favourite, to be fair.
They all have their moments.
Yeah, I mean, but I think, especially at the moment, it's like, yeah.
But I think there has to be a dynamic. I mean, it kind of depends on the character you're given as well, because some characters are neglected by the writers.
I think in terms of whose character is most unlike their real self from what I've seen, I think Danny Pudi is probably the one.
Yeah. He is a very social guy.
And he's so, like, he's so relaxed and laid back and eloquent and, like, naturally funny. It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
And Chang is the
Dark
one
elf.
Who made an effort, and then he's the first one to
die. Yeah, that is ironic, isn't it?
It was so dramatic. I actually felt kind of sad when he walked out and he faded away.
Too emotional, man. I mean, but yeah, it set the stakes high. It gave it some emotional weight. Yeah, that was a great way to sort of show, you know, how deadly serious they were about doing this episode, basically.
I like the little bit of comedy and satire, even though Chang, did it really add into the black guy dies first? cliche.
Wow.
This is not me being racist. This is not, you can, I've got my podcast license and I'm keeping it.
Okay.
But okay. I'm treading carefully here. Okay, let's just move away from that subject then. Right, okay. So
No, it was a good point.
Even though Chang dies and I'm like all sad and you've got this same music from Rush Hour and like Jackie Chan and all that. It's actually the same music, not even lying. And then he fades away. And that is like comedy, a perfect comedy moment. Mm. Another thing that ends up sealing the deal for me with this thing, right? I mean, nothing is left the... I mean, everything is left the imagination. Do you think he actually did just fade away?
Maybe. No, actors are quite versatile these days. He might have done.
Is that on his resume? Just can dramatically fade away.
What did I even say?
Ken Jeong. And the winner for Fade Artist of the Year, Mr. Ken Jeong.
What was I even saying? Oh my gosh. it does make sense.
But yeah, no, this is an absolute turning point for Pierce, I think.
Yeah, it's such a villain in this episode. The antagonist. The first time a member of the study group is an antagonist.
They do build it up, but this is the one where, you know, the dam really breaks and he becomes a villain. And he even displays classic villain symptoms like that mistake at the end. Oh, killing's too good for them. I'm going to wait. You know, I'm going to wait and take the piss.
And get owned in the process.
Exactly.
So he really antagonizes the group, you know, because it's another thing, it's continuity from the last episode, right? That they've excluded him because they know that he won't help out Fat Neil. Oops, just Neil. Mm. And Chang does the opposite and always sympathizes with the group. Like, you noticed in the last episode, when Chang only wanted to help the group to get at Pierce.
Yeah. I mean, I should have brought this up at the time. I can't remember. I think I forgot to mention this. But I think Chang really does deserve to be in the group.
Yeah. It's the fact that he takes over for the drugs thing and actually helps them.
He takes a lot of points.
Crazy.
And then in this one, he actually dies because he's trying to take the sword back off Pierce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He takes a lot for the team that he's not even on, and that must be pretty tough for him. Hence maybe why he becomes... a villain.
Maybe that's why he went mad.
You missed it, Chris. We were talking all about how Season 2 was a huge season for their exclusivity creating villains.
Yeah, I wrote that about Pierce, but forget about it. I can't say anything. That was good.
Also, I love the epic twist about how Jeff was the one who started it in the first place. I never saw that coming the first time.
Yeah, definitely.
I did remember it the second time. just in case you're wondering.
It's kind of shocking, though, but it does also play into the fact that he'll do anything to look after his image, right? And is it because he feels guilty, or maybe it's because he wants to get with Britta that he's sympathising with Neil?
He's already with Britta in this series, baby.
Oh, yeah, true.
Or with the cool cat's outfit and everything.
Yeah.
I think he genuinely feels guilty because, I mean, Jeff, he's not the nicest guy on the surface, but when he notices something real, like that sort of depression, which he could relate to, as we find out in Season 4 with that whole appendix stuff. I think that it's hard to put into words. It's just
he's kind of like the human, he's like the center of the study group, and all the stupid, all the craziness kind of moves around him, as to speak, because he's the one who's the one who's to blame for calling Fat Neil the name in the first place. I see where you're coming from. He does actually want to he wants to tie ends up and make sure that the group stays together, because ultimately he is the cohesive force that, you know, makes the group. Fat Neil actually himself was quite a forgettable character, and I didn't.
I don't know. I liked him.
I didn't really, you know. I liked him, but you know.
Brought one of these characters to the front, and actually like was paying them attention.
Yeah. This,
like the first time the study group have kind of realised the effect that they can have on the rest of the school. So like they have to, so they can actually try and help someone. They decide to try and help people, and then Pierce, because they don't invite Pierce, it's kind of their fault. I can see why Pierce would be angry, but he goes way too overboard.
So I think our main problem for connecting with Neil in the episode is that we don't really get to know him per se. We get to know, Duquesne? Was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We get to know him as Duquesne. And while I love Duquesne as a character, and it probably does tell us a lot about Neil as a character, I don't know, I just felt like we could have spent more time. And I know we glimpse him in later seasons, but I think we definitely need more Neil loving in season 5, perhaps.
In fact, screw just Neil. They need a lot of non-study group character loving, actually.
Which relates to our question of the week, which we'll get to in a minute. But yeah,
One thing about... Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, the writing in this episode was just perfect. The scene I have to highlight is the I Pity Pierce scene, because that was just really powerful. There are some scenes in Community which are really powerful, and I think that was one of them.
I was drowning in a room full of tears at that point. I was just crying my eyes out.
I felt pretty much the same way.
It's the story of this episode does actually end up clicking into place, just like a board game.
It sets up the study group as like the shining force of Greendale at this point. It's like they're here to the rescue whenever someone's that depressed. But then at the same time sets up Pierce as the big villain.
Yeah.
So it's very significant. And it's about halfway through the season as well. So it's
like for each person they help out, there's two more that they end up
it's true.
Disregarding. It's kind of a
completely true
vicious circle.
I do remember seeing this episode, seeing season 2 for the first time, and thinking, oh, Pierce is so villainous, and I bet he's just going to go back to being regular old, doddery, racist Pierce next week. But obviously that doesn't actually happen, and Pierce goes, it's what Community does best, you know. You just can't see what's coming around the corner. You can't predict what's going on, just like a regular sitcom. And the script for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons was also really fluid, and a point that I've made here is that it just felt like it was improvised. I don't know how...
It felt spontaneous.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what it should feel like.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult for a script to actually get all the characters and flesh them out all in just one 20-minute episode, because it accounts for adverts as well.
Okay. I think that one of my favourite quotes just has to be, this is why I wanted to play Chutes and Ladders, which in England we call Snakes and Ladders.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what I wanted to bring up when we were talking about Cattlecorn.
I think my favourite quote for this episode was, good night, as spoken by that lovely, very British woman.
Yes.
And so it was that the group began to describe themselves walking, and as they described themselves walking, so did Abed confirm that they had walked.
Yeah,
that just like shows what they're doing is actually kind of sad, and like, they're not really doing anything.
I still think my favourite one's got to be I'm sick of you friending me and talking to me like a kid and giving me that look. You give like a candy erections.
All in all, fantastic episode. Great.
Very good.
Very
top amazing. Top five.
Really, can't wait for the sequel.
Top three. But yeah, okay, and ranking is our final part. Chris, you can choose whether you participate in this. It's up to you. I'm not sure you watched all of them
recently.
Well,
I gotta go soon.
Okay. Well, I'm probably gonna put Advanced Dungeons and Dragons first, and Arbed's Unforgettable Christmas last, because I didn't really like the fact that it didn't have humans in it. basically. Okay, maybe that's a massive debate for next time and your jaws are probably hitting the floor.
No,
but
it depends whether you consider embodiment necessary for personhood. But yeah.
No.
I'm joking.
Suicidal Neil, here I come.
I'm joking. Okay, well, yeah. Where would you put the... Are you not going to comment on the other two then?
I think celebrity pharmacology, I'd definitely put that third, because, okay, interesting critique of, like, drugs and all that, and, oh, they're lame, so let's make this cliche third episode about it. And Asian population studies, definitely second, because, you know, I'm just like, whoa, you can't beat Chang on top of a bookcase, and then more random Shirley husband action. So
yeah, I completely agree with your ranking, Chris. Actually, Dungeons & Dragons is in my top three. So then Asian population studies, just for the amazing acting job from Joel McHale and all that good resolutions in the episode, followed by celebrity pharmacology, and then Arbor's Uncontrollable Christmas at the bottom. Still a great episode, Harrison.
Well, I'm going to agree with, not that there's any, like, real
no
jeopardy
tension.
Here. Yeah, I agree.
Everyone. Okay, great.
Unanimous.
And because you have to leave in a minute, Harrison, do you want to give us your answer to the question of the week?
Well, I can probably stay because I think it's okay.
What?
Just for a bit. Not, like, for, like, it's limited time.
Okay. But, well, we have to give it now anyway. Might as well start with you.
Okay. I would have to say my favourite character has a non-study group character, which is what our question of the week was, has to be, I don't know, it changes really, but at the moment I'd say it's the Dean, just because he's so outrageously, like, there's no limits to how creepy he can be, you know what I mean? It's like, he goes from being, like, really normal to then being...
I would actually pick the Dean as well, but... slightly different reasons. It was more because he reminded me of me. Obviously, I love me, so I love the Dean. Chris?
Steals a cool cat picture of Chris, obviously, and... What was that? Dean Sam. Reminds me of
But Chris, right. What was your favourite?
I know you said non-study group character, but I thought, you know, the Dean's a really major character, so I was, like, looking for all the...
I guess me and Harrison were cheating. Yeah, true.
Tut. Yeah, but I think my favourite non-study group character has just got to be the ones that you have to spot in episodes, because it's like effort, and I like that somehow. So Officer Kukowski, because
I love him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a police officer, and then you're just left hanging because he's campus security, and then becomes a police officer, and you're just sitting there thinking, wait, what happened in the middle? And I know they're never, ever going to answer that question, but you know, what happened in the middle? How did he become a police officer? How did he get out of the beep hole that's Greendale and all of that?
That's a good question. Good question.
Maybe they can do a flashback episode for him.
Yes, I would love that.
And we've had a flurry of responses for this week's question of the week.
Very nice.
A flurry by our standards.
Good job, everybody.
to start off, we have Steve at @naive_Steve, who says his favourite was Annie Kim.
Now, isn't...
What's the controversy about that? It's a non-study group character. I can see why he'd choose her.
Annie Kim, isn't she the
death model the UN episode where they have the UN? Yeah.
That was it.
I like Annie Kim. She has some very good political sense, and she's nice.
Yes. Okay.
Nice.
Who wants to do the next one?
I can't log into.
Okay. Shall I just? Okay.
Charles.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Go on, Chris. It's Sam.
CDULANEY85. Garrett or Leonard. So nice. Kind of cheating by going for two there, but we'll let you off. We're very nice people. I can see why you made those choices. Garrett is quite the excitable character, and Leonard is a nice aged demographic skewing figure who gives us the older side of Greendale. I guess we get that from Pierce as well, but you know, nice to see he's not the only one
of
his group.
I've got this one, actually, from Brett Taylor. I'll say that one next.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, okay then. Well, here's one from Brett Taylor at B Taylor the Rogue, and he says that his favourite non-Stone Group character is either Ben Chang or Dean Pelton, or Professor whatever, John Oliver.
Ah, so some Ian Duncan loving.
He has. He's kind of cheated slightly and taken three, but I'll just assume that he likes.
Fair enough.
I think that's good. This is a good sign because it shows everyone loves too many of the characters in Community. Yeah. It shows how powerful they are.
We're honoured to have a response from Community Warriors, namely Maegwen, who says her favourite is Neil initially, and then upon seeing Brett Taylor's tweet, as I can only assume, then changes her mind to Professor Duncan. She revised her answer, basically. So it's a good choice. Duncan is definitely one of my favourites. I'd say he's in my top non-study group.
I didn't think about him. And when I saw that, I did reconsider for a second and think maybe I'd pick him over the Dean. But in hindsight, I think the Dean would still be in, actually. Just.
Yes.
I don't think there are enough episodes to pass around all the community love equally to all the characters, but if there was, if there was another character that I think they should look at, it should be Professor Duncan.
Yeah, there should be an explanation as to where the hell he's been.
Exactly.
Oh, there were. Oh, yes. I'd forgotten all the amazing season 5 news. He's coming back.
Yeah.
What?
We said that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I've just forgotten.
You forgot that he was coming back.
Yeah. I'm so hyped for season 5 now. Sorry. It's because I haven't seen any pictures of him on set or anything.
Maybe he looks completely different, or he's had plastic surgery or something crazy.
I'd love to see him with a beard, actually. Like a really long beard. Nice. That would turn me on. anyway, then we have S-Edge, or E55EJ, one of our oldest...
#Haiku101. One
of our most dedicated listeners, at JYAJ06. He chose Garrett, the dude's a mess. It's like God spill a person to entertain us.
Nice.
I like that. It's true. That's a metaphor.
Great. And Harrison, finally, we have
Ashley Torsha at Ashley Torsha, who just says Chang.
lovely. And yeah,
Chang's a popular choice. I'd say he's up there as well.
Definitely up there. Definitely up there.
So my top three are Dean, Duncan, and Chang.
Yeah. Sorry to panda.
Kind of more obvious ones. Maybe we should do a more specific one. It's like no faculty either, maybe.
Chang, though, is unique because he's got this property that you don't need to explain why you choose him, because just Chang. Chang? It's just Chang.
Just Chang.
I think I might even have said that in an earlier episode. I just went,
Chang is self-explanatory.
So, anyway, thank you for all your wonderful responses.
Yes, thank you very much. Question of the week.
Keep that up. That was some good...
Mm-hmm.
We were getting dry the last couple of weeks, so I'm glad we got all this.
Thanks to Community Warriors, especially for replying to us and helping us.
We've been bowled over by the amount of responses and the amount of community love, the spirit of community and all that hippie stuff. But yeah,
spirit of Greendale.
Oh yes, definitely. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. We love
and
you.
I think that just about does it for us this week.
Nah. Follow a shout.
Yes.
Sorry.
The next follower is obviously a very important follower, just like all our other followers. But it's the one, the only, Maegwen, at Maegwen. She's an everything file. A fanatical alphabetizer. A geek. A Jersey girl. A journalist. An online habitué. A traveller. A TV fan. And a windmill tilter. As well as a news editor.
Wow.
And she's the co-leader of Community Warriors.
A jack of all trades. Lovely. Although, did I ever tell you guys a story about how I met Maegwen? It's quite short. But basically, it was before even I started doing community stuff on Twitter. I just happened to be on this... She was moderating a chat for the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition marathon.
Right. I think you did tell me this.
Yeah, I'm sure I have mentioned it, but yeah. Yeah.
Does she know?
It was just a I don't know. She probably recognised me when I followed her, but it was just a complete coincidence, because literally a few days later I got into the community stuff and she was one of the first ones that came up, and I freaked out, and it's definitely the same person, because I went and checked it somehow. I can't remember how I checked it. I think she's
stalking.
No, she was tweeting about it. She was tweeting about it.
All right.
The Lord of the Rings thing. So yeah.
Well.
Same person.
You're the best fan ever. Mm. Oh, okay.
Next up, we have Working Princess at TDOTBITCH, naughty.
Mm.
Her whole life is just her winging it.
Lovely. Like
Jeff Wing away.
Then we have Stephanie Beatty or BT at SRBEATTY. And a blank bio.
Nice.
Very nice.
It's the way to go.
Do you like that?
Crazy Town Banana Pants is where she's from.
Mm. I've never been there, but it sounds nice.
I've heard Pierce goes there quite a lot.
Mm. Mm.
Maybe he'd say, there's a party in my banana pants, and everyone would... Okay, right. Well, the next follower is Ankita, at CHAWLANKITA. She... simply, write, read, love TV, sin, eat, sleep. That's pretty much the average day of all your fellow Community 101 presenters over here.
Yeah.
No, true. Just a love TV, then sin. The sin is the obligatory part.
Yeah.
She's also got an interesting website, tvtalker.wordpress.com. So maybe you should go give that a check out or something. Cool.
Awesome.
And the next follower is
Sam
Harrison.
Chris Harrison
and Keita.
Yeah. And H is before.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Valerie Lagasse at Lagasse Val at hashtag six seasons and a movie hashtag Delta Cubes. Nice. Awesome. And then she hasn't got any followers. Maybe show some love.
Also, we have the famous Mike at Community Nut. That's CommunityNut. Another big contributor to the Twitter community, the Communiverse, as coined by Harrison. TV nerd, Lego appreciator, and just a bit of a hashtag community fan. Co-runner of at Communies, with two S's, by the way, where we're trying to bring all communities together. Hashtag six seasons and a movie. And can I just say to both Mike and Mei Gwen, you're doing a great job of bringing all the communities together.
Keep up the good work.
Yes.
Plus 10 points.
Hmm.
Harrison, do you want to do the next one?
Sure. Rent at JRentmeister1. Dad of three, husband to one. That's how I want to roll. Except maybe less than three. Escrow officer, community nut, of course.
Yes.
Member of the league. Well, that sounds creepy. Part-time Utah Jazz. Okay. Season ticket holder to the You Go Utes.
Hey.
This means, but his twit pick is the Greendale flag, so can't go wrong there.
Mm.
And with that, we'll be seeing you guys. Bye.
Oh, okay, bye, Harrison.
Bye, Harrison. Try not to get eaten by the dragon.
Hmm. And then it was just Sam and Chris. So, who's the last follower?
Well, the last follower, but not the least follower, is Chelsea at Missy Prissy 12. That's MissyPrissy 12. And because she's our last follower this evening, she is the proud winner of the Haiku 101 Weekly Haiku. So, let's limber up. Lover of romance. Owls and old movies. Pop-Tarts. Community addiction. Every time. It's so beautiful.
You can't see it, but I'm doing a standing ovation.
Thank you so much. I can hear the crowd behind you.
But I'm doing it, like, I'm doing it sideways, so it's kind of just like lying down.
But, yeah. Lying down. Actually standing. You're standing using the side of your right side of your body.
I'm standing horizontally, and I think that should be enough. Counts. Yeah. is that it? Oh no, there was one other thing. We do have an extra bit of listener input, okay?
We do.
And
Flashback, quick.
Well, no, this isn't for the question of the week. I was just going to tag this on at the end. Basically, we got, contact form. We got one of those. Right. From that of the name Godlish Wang. And the section that Mr. Godlish, Mr. Wang, chose was question of the week. And his comment was as follows. Buy the latest red bottom shoes, high heel shoes, high boots, high heel pumps, Christian Louboutin heels, black pumps online. Save money on millions of top products at low prices. See more red bottom shoes. Please click the link www.soulshoes.com, www.monthshoes.net, www.netshoes.net. And it goes on. What Rolexes, cosplay, wedding dresses. What? Well, thank you, Mr. Wang. I highly appreciate your input. Thanks for that.
Wow, you see that you can tell we're becoming popular when you start seeing.
I know
such loving messages.
Seriously, any fan mail really makes our day. Even that really brightened us up. Trust me.
It's the fact that you feel that we are so important that you must give us obligatory discounts on various items of clothing.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Why can't other people, other fans, give us gifts?
Exactly.
Let's get those presents rolling in. Christmas is coming.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Mr. Godfrey Wang. What's his name?
Godlish Wang.
Maybe if you write your Christmas letter to Mr. Godlish Wang instead of Santa Claus, he might drop by with some red. Black pumps instead of a.
Yes.
What?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
So, with that, on that note of hilarity, I believe that's the end of this episode. As always, this podcast is available on Podomatic and on iTunes. Please rate us 5 stars if you have the time. All of our older episodes are archived on YouTube. Our channel name is Community 101 Podcast. You can contact us on Facebook, that's www.facebook.com/communitypod101, or Twitter, which is probably one of our main outlets, @101community101. The name of our username is Community101 Podcast, and use the hashtag Community101. You can reach us through our contact form at community101.filmbox.net. where there are lovely, neat, organised categories for you to specify what your message concerns, like Mr. Godlish Wang, who selected Question of the Week. Although I thought that his one was more directed to character study, but, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't matter. Come straight to the source and email us at community101@live.co.uk. That will get you straight to us. And the music you're hearing right now is by our lovely, good, close, tight friend, Oliver Pucky. Visit his solo channel on YouTube, which is Cola4369, for some solitary jamming. Or check out his duetted recent work with Basil Kandaya on the channel BKOP Jams. Thank you for listening, everyone. Good night, and join us next week.
See you next week, everybody. We love you, especially you, Mr. Godlish Wild. Well, I just typed in #community101 into Twitter, and Heather Jian, how do you like your French fries? #community101 @sonsofoil. Yeah. Especially when they do that, and there are actually steroid scandals with basketball. Also, I can hear my voice, and I'm just like, basketball? And I'm hearing basketball, and I'm like, yeah. Okay.
It's epic. So, yeah, I saw that episode the other day, and I was like, it was insane, because I just didn't realize.
But even... I crashed your bloody Skype chat, brother.
What did they say Jeff was son of?
William, the hardly known or something. Barely known.
That's foreshadowing. Was that his father's real name as well?
Yeah, William Winger.
Ah, nice.
Oh yeah, my uncle's Sega Dreamcast arrived.
What?
Yes!
Wow. God,
Dreamcast, oh man.
He asked for it for Christmas.
Damn, yeah. It. Tell him he should get Jet Set Radio and play an urban teenage crazy dystopian future. Well, it's not dystopian, it's just future, but it's really cool, and like hip hop music and just yeah.
Do you think apparently when Dean Pelton is describing the story arc of the drug awareness play, he's actually recapping Annie's story arc.
That's what I literally just said.
Oh, is it? I thought so. I thought, oh, he's talking about story arcs. Okay, I'll make this point. Sorry.
And obviously this podcast is open 24 hours a day with an outdoor PA system and a flashing neon sign. All purchases from the store show up on your credit card as being billed by ABC Studios Incorporated. The store has an indoor cafe with an espresso machine, along with a menu that includes cinnamon biscotti.
Nice.
I'm so confused. Okay.